Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We face a lot of distractions, and we all know the damage they can do to our creative lives. But today I'm going to try to talk about what good things we can get out of distractions. It is I Should Be Writing Season 18, Episode 32.
Well, I should be writing.
So, hi there. Welcome to I Should Be Writing. This is a podcast for wannabe fiction writers, and I'm your host, Mer Lafferty. I've been doing this since 2005, when I had not sold anything, not even a short story, and now, many, many years later, I'm working on my seventh book and got a couple of award nominations and a win or two, so it's... My whole career has been chronicled in this podcast, and it's always awkward for me to say this, but I guess I'm just trying to establish my credentials. Anyway, I like to take the show to talk to any creative, really, about all the doubts and fears you're having at the beginning and continued parts of your career, and how they should not stop you. So, I have that sort of good news, bad news thing with my, what I'm working on. The good news is very, like, do they still talk like this in business world, like 10,000 feet kind of thing, where I took some time off this weekend and just, as I mentioned before we started recording, my husband was at a two-day, did a class for 2 days, and he was out of the house, and I was alone, and with the dogs, and it was weird. And I'm also realizing that he's not gone to work since Numbers Ninja went to college. So having, like, being alone during the day, like I am now, is still new-ish. Anyway. But I just took a long time, the dog with the cone is back here with me, so she's, it's hard for her to turn around. So if you're hearing noises, that's what that is. Good girl. But I laid a lot of Stardew Valley, I did some cooking, and watched some murder shows at night. And in watching the murder show, I solved a problem in my own murder show, or murder book I'm writing. So that was one of those big fireworks going off in the brain kind of moments. And then yesterday, I basically spent several hours on Aeon Timeline. That's A-E-O-N Timeline. It's just a timeline charting software that really helped me with... I'd use a lot of flashbacks in my work. I started it with Six Wakes. I really like the TV show Lost format, where you see something happening in the present and you make assumptions about the characters, and then you get somebody's flashback and you realize you were entirely wrong. And they did that a lot. So I started doing that in Six Wakes, and I'm continuing to do it now. So there's a lot of bumping back and forth. With Six Wakes, it was harder because the clones were several hundred years old, and so I had a very long timeline to go through. But it's still a little complicated, making sure that everything that happens in the different plot lines happen at the correct times. So this timeline software, it's very robust in that you can do, say this event happens and it is contingent on this other event because it happens like right at the end of another event. So if you have to move the first event, the second event can shift with it, which is nice. So yesterday I started trying to make the timeline, and in doing so, I really started getting into an outlining way of thinking. And I don't know why, but I ran with it. So I got a lot of early, before the events in the book happen, I got a lot of staging stuff laid out and when it happens. And one of my realizations this weekend was that my murderer was not my murderer. And that was both interesting that and frustrating, because I thought I knew who the murderer was. I had it planned out pretty early. And then it just, my husband said something about what we were watching and something clicked in my head and I'm like, oh God, she's not the murderer. That's okay. And I gotta work everything through. And so I think I did yesterday. So while I did not get a word count, I did a lot of outlining and it makes sense. And I'm happy. And I have no creative excuse today. I just couldn't grab onto anything. I did get some writing done, like, after 1 o'clock before the stream. So I didn't check my word count, but I did start that up. So now my biggest question to myself is, do I want to start from the beginning again and tweak everything to fit the new outline, or do I keep going? This is advice I give to new writers is, if you find something that changes at the beginning, just write it down and keep going, because you can get stuck in a loop to go back and edit and edit and perfect without ever finishing your story. But sometimes when you've been doing it for a while, you can go back. And for me, it's one of those weird things where it would be like, okay, so the setting is exactly the same. The characters are exactly the same, but what they talk about is going to be different. So it's not changing too much, but it's changing dialogue. And yeah, I think my one problem is figuring out exactly how the murder goes, because that always has a lot of moving parts. Take Death on the Nile, which I don't know how the latest dramatization worked. I heard it wasn't that good, but I haven't seen it and I still want to, because it's one of my favorite stories. That murder was very intricate. And I've kind of built this theory in my head. I think it probably works for Sherlock Holmes too, but if not for the sleuths, these amazing sleuths, these people who do these crimes, they're not dumb criminals. They're brilliant. They're freaking brilliant. And, you know, you just wonder, like, if you took out Poirot from Death on the Nile, you could just do this, like, serial killer expose about the murderer, and no spoilers in this book that's a million years old. If you haven't seen any dramatizations or read it, it's worth it. It's a very interesting, I found it very interesting anyway. So, you know, their murder spree through Egypt. Just take out that one element and everything changes. As for good news, I don't know. I don't have a lot. I'm happy Yes, there's good news. I'm sorry, sometimes when you get told secret good news, you forget when you can actually talk about it. So, I have mentioned that Divya and I were nominated for Best Short Form Editor, Hugo, and Escape Pod was nominated for Best Semi-Prosine, Hugo, but it just was announced yesterday that Escape Pod is also nominated for the Ignite Award for Best Fiction Podcast, which is huge, because Ignite does not only look at, you know, do you make good fiction or not, but looks at how you approach the concept of inclusivity and bringing as many voices as there are out there to the table to present their stories. And it is a huge honor that we were nominated for that second year running. So, you know, great job. I haven't checked chat. I know Kids Are Asleep is here. Congratulations, Kids Are Asleep. And if Preemie's here or just lurking, congrats to Preemie as well. So yeah, that is my good news. We Escape Pod is nominated for the Ignite Award again, and I was excited to see that Maurice Broaddus is nominated. Kwame Mbalia is nominated. Kwame is a middle grade author who's local to me, and he's just a really amazing guy. We somehow only see each other at Boston conventions. We met at a Boston convention at BossCon before COVID shut down. And then I think we had coffee once, but I mean, there was COVID in there. And then we met when we went to BossCon this past year and shared a cab and stuff. Yeah, that's my good news. Yay, Escape Pod. Excellent team. If anybody else has any good news they want to tell me, you can tell me in the chat or you can email me later and I will read it on the podcast. Underpope has one rejection and Depressive Cycle seems to be lifting. That is a big yay there. Congratulations, Underpope. I'm really, really happy for you both for the rejection, but also feeling better because that's a terrible, terrible thing. And team rejection count 145. Christian Writing just checked my email and I got an acceptance 2 days ago. Wow, that's awesome. Congratulations. We don't have a counter for that. I'm only aware of one counter I can have, so sorry. That's amazing. Congratulations. To anybody new watching or listening later, we celebrate rejections because rejections means you're a working writer. One of the worst parts of the job is writing something that someone else says no thanks and continuing to do it. It's hard. And because it is a negative, we treat it like a negative, but it's part of the job. And if you want to do the job of a writer, then at least celebrate that you're doing the job when there's so many people out there who are too afraid to do the job. And if you're afraid to do the job, I'm hoping that you're looking at our team rejection count and saying, if I add to that, I will be part of this group who's writing and submitting and continuing to write and submit, even when it's hard, even when it hurts. That's why we celebrate rejection so big here. Because, granted, it does suck. I'm not lying. I'm not denying that at all. But if you can grab that little bit of you're rolling up your sleeves and you're doing the work and it's not paying off yet, but you're doing the work and that should be celebrated. SB's Gemini, been a while. Submitted for the first time in 2 years. That's amazing, SB's Gemini. Well done. Where's the A button? Why is the A button not working? There we go. Definitely well done. I'm very glad you're getting back into it. And Team Rejection says, welcome. If you join us and if you join Team Acceptance, which we're not counting, but we do a big confetti for that too. Even better. But you are welcome here. I'm looking for the, I turned off team rejection. There it is. Haha. I turned off the team rejection count on the video. And that's bad. Yeah, it's very exciting. Thank you, Christian Writing. That's a good point. All right, so That's it for good news. If anybody has any further good news, you can email me, put good news in the subject line, and I will talk about it in the next episode. A little bit of housekeeping. I want to remind people that for some reason I cut out an entire month, an entire week in April, and was convinced that the 30th was this coming Saturday. It's not. If you're listening to the podcast, it may be this coming Saturday, but for the live stream, it is not. So in 2 weeks from today, which is April 19th, we will be featuring Lily Lanoff and her book One for All in Spoilers Club, which is our very first book club live stream on April 30th, twitch.tv/mightymur. It's free. You don't even have to make a username, but if you want to chat, you do. 6 p.m. Eastern Time. It's called Spoilers Club because a lot of times when people interview authors, rightly so, they want to keep the secrets of the book secret so that people listening will have a reason to go buy it. I'm taking a chance and telling you to go buy it now, because what's going to happen is we're going to have Lily in here and we're going to be able to ask her as writers. You know, we're not going at this like readers and fans. We're going at this as writers, and we can say, why did you choose to do X? Why did you choose to do Y? I'm almost done with the book now, and there's already some questions I have coming up. I'm really interested to see how she came about putting this book together. If there's a twist, you know, don't worry about revealing it. Ask about it. If, you know, it's... Spoilers Club is to talk about every aspect of a book so people can learn how better those ending parts, how to put those together, because we don't get to cover that very often because of spoilers. So, Spoilers Club, April 30th, 6 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Upcoming books will be Kaiju Preservation Society by John Scalzi. Gonna have to wait till he's done with his big book tour, but he has agreed. The only comment was just like, oh yeah, sure, no problem. Just, you gotta get me at the right time. So, we'll be doing Scalzi's book soon. Ursula Vernon has 2 books coming out. I haven't decided whether we're going to be doing the horror or the fantasy. I'll probably just take Patreon comments on that or chat comments right now. She's a very good disturbing fantasy writer and a good horror writer. And she has 2 books coming out this year, so we got to decide which one. So yes, One for All by Lily Lanoff. It is a YA retelling of Three Musketeers, gender bent, and the main character has a chronic illness. It is not named because it's the 16th century. Or is it the 1600s? I can't remember. It's 16-something. Not a lot of medical advances. But she's got a major vertigo problem and has to fence and live with that. So yeah, that's Spoilers Club. So, distractions. I want to talk about distractions. As I mentioned, I took a break this weekend and just, I played a lot of Stardew Valley. I was very, very dedicated on finishing the community center without giving Pierre much money at all, or the JoJamart. And yeah, this is a me thing, but I spent a lot of time on that. I hit a big plot point, big plot point in Horizon Forbidden West and needed to take a break. If you've played it, you probably know what I mean. Unless there's something even worse coming up. Don't tell me. But, yeah, which is also something else I want to talk about with an author. But I can't tell you what, because I don't want to spoil the game for other people. Damn. Anyway. But when I was talking to my husband about, we were watching at Bertram's Hotel, which I guess is not a very well-loved book. You don't read much about it online. It's Ms. Marple gets a gift. Her nephews give her lots of gifts of travel, so Ms. Marple can get out of her little English hamlet and go solve murders somewhere else. But just lets her stay at this grand hotel for 2 weeks, which of course then has murders. It's just, I don't know what it was. My husband calls it the rubber duck thing, where you don't even need somebody else's advice. You just kind of need to talk something out and have that feeling of talking it over with somebody. And then your brain will come up with the thing, with the solution. And he says programmers have rubber ducks on their monitors so they can just talk it over with a rubber duck and fix their programming problem and go back to programming. But in watching this and taking a break on the weekend, I solved this problem in my book. And that was a good feeling. And I started to think about how people put down media, like television is sucks your brain, and computer games are for kids, and I don't even own a television set, and just snobbery. That's really what it is. I'm sure if you looked at the brain, different parts would light up. And playing a game versus watching something versus reading something. And it's probably the smarter parts that light up when you're reading something. But still, games and movies and television, they're all stories. I mean, except for maybe Doom. Doom was just gruff guy in hell. Not really a story. And some of the most loved games right now are the ones with the incredibly intricate storylines. Horizon Zero Dawn has great gameplay, but its story is phenomenal. In part, reason why, as you uncover clues as to, I mean, you're playing a young woman in a sort of primitive tribe, but while the tribe does not have a lot of technology, boy howdy, there are giant machines that look like animals wandering the countryside. And when I first saw the picture of Aloy, that's the character's name, shooting a machine with a bow and arrow, I thought it was the stupidest thing. But Aloy goes looking for several answers for several reasons, and as she uncovers the plot, it becomes more and more obvious what happened. And then the final couple of pieces are unveiled and you're like, oh, well, I had that wrong. And it wasn't even like a twist. It was just, I guess it was a twist. It's hard to say. Still, it was something that was, it went a direction I didn't expect. And I think about that story a lot. And I'm playing through the second game, Forbidden West, right now. And it's not quite as engrossing, but it's still quite good. Still excellent storytelling. And that's almost harder because you have to do gameplay, as well as gameplay and art and programming, in addition to a story. And you have to figure out how much a player is involved in the story. You make some decisions in Horizon Forbidden West that you couldn't make in the first game. Like, you can make decisions whether certain NPCs live or die. Anyway, not to go on and on about this game I like very much, but, you know, I've had trouble creating characters before, and a lot of people say, you know, base it on someone you know or another character and then kind of build it into something for you. Well, I've done that. But I've done that with characters from games, as well as fictional characters, as well as people from my life. And I was talking to some friends today about how there are some side projects I want to work on, but I feel like the book is just kind of encompassing my life right now. And a friend pointed out that maybe, you know, if you get some good writing done on your book, or you feel stuck, you could just, like, go off to the side and write for 15 minutes on this other project. And I've always thought that would confuse me, but now I'm seeing the benefit of it, because I did have to do a couple of side projects while writing this book. And I felt stuck in the book, and working on the side project was like, I don't know, eating cotton candy. It was just like, it didn't matter. I didn't have, there was nothing riding on it, and it was sweet, and it was easy, and it was fun. And I'm trying to figure out how to look at my characters in my book and think, okay, how can I approach you and make you easy and fun and still matter a lot, because you have to be in my book that I owe to my editor. And by mattering, I mean, like, I did a one-shot RPG on Twitch. I was there for one night. The character I built didn't matter. I wanted to make a good character, and I think I did. I had fun. But she was a lot easier to make than this character in my book. And I think it's just because the character in my book is a character in my book. Very important. And I think I did have... it was a little bit easier to go back to my book after that. And again, I say maybe you shouldn't, you know, when your book gets tough, your brain's gonna, like, jump over to other projects and go, hey, let's do this one. It's shiny and new, and I really want to do it, and it's not this hard thing. And I'm like, always resist that. Just write down the idea and keep going. But maybe with structure, maybe try it. Maybe see if that will unstick you. Because I say that there's no writing advice that is for everybody. Like, any advice I give you on this show may or may not work for you, because you're you. Some advice is good for most people. Like, developing a writing habit and writing every day will get you writing. There are many people that does not work for, and that does not mean they're any less of writers or any less building a writing career. But if you're stuck in your book and you think you maybe want to try something new for a second, that could either distract you in a bad way, or it can get your brain moving when it couldn't move over on the book. I'm very close to making a laxative joke here, so I'm going to move on to chat and check with them. Underpoop says, sometimes I talk about writing or work problems with the cats. Cats won't stick around to be spoken with, says Star-Eyed Green. It helps if they're asleep or eating tuna off a plate. Okay, Underpope, that works. Kids are asleep, says, I used to be very one-track, and sometimes I still am, but sometimes a candy dessert project does help. The whole rubber duck thing seems to be something involving the difference between listening to your internal monologue versus listening to your voice. Something about the info coming through your ears makes a difference on how it's processed. Yeah, it's weird. The brain's weird. You wouldn't think that, you know, words are words, but they're not. I mean, there are some people who get brain injuries who can write but can't talk. Like, they can form words in one part of their brain, but not the other one. And I guess it's the same for listening or just thinking about words. So thank you, Tree Lobsters. That's interesting. Christian Running started working on a short story to get some space from your novel. After a week of doing nothing but plotting, it's been really good for flow. That's good. Usually tell myself I can work on the treat project after I work on the not treat project. Yes, same here, kids are asleep. I'm kind of doing that now. Shayla's feeling that with Camp Nano. I'm working in the marketing for a new release and having pure joy writing a short story. I reward myself with writing time after I get marketing piece done, and a joke in the story is a bonding moment I need for a future plot in the series. That's cool. Tree Lobster says, darling spouse does a lot of word puzzles. When they get stuck, they'll start to explain it to me, stop and go, oh, never mind. Yeah. I'm trying to focus on blog writing right now and want to slowly integrate fiction writing again soon. So in talking to some of my creative friends today, we talked about how one of my mantras is emotions are not necessarily reality. You know, sometimes your emotions will go, I don't want to do X. I don't want to do that workout or that eat that good thing or write those words. And if you take the emotions out of it, you look at your to-do list and you're like, all right, I gotta do that thing. I'm gonna go do it. And I think it was Cory Doctorow told me, and I've pretty much found it to be the case, that if you drag yourself to write your daily word count, if you're doing a daily word count, if you know you've got writing to do and you drag yourself to do it even if you don't want to, when you're done with all those thousands of words, you probably won't be able to identify which scenes you hated doing and which scenes just flowed like water. Sometimes I can. Yeah, I can't remember a lot of scenes that I hated doing. I remember scenes that were difficult, but that's different. So, along the same lines of that taking the emotions out and realizing they're not reality is taking the emotion out of the distraction and thinking, okay, this is another thing I'm going to do for a set amount of time even, or a set amount of words, or I'm going to do this only after that is done. So that's my caveat. Distractions can be fun. They can be reinvigorating. They can be freeing. And they can even be helpful to your main project. But do them with structure. Do them with intention. Intend to watch that movie. And you don't even have to maybe analyze it, but pay attention. And I think that is all I have to say for I Should Be Writing now. We can talk in the chat a little bit more. If you would like to hang out in chat and talk to us in what I affectionately called the BarCon part of the episode, we're live on Twitch Tuesdays, Thursdays, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, twitch.tv/MightyMur. Or if you just want to listen to the BarCon, you can support at patreon.com/MightyMur and get access to the longer episodes and all the archives. And oh my god, you guys, I finally completed the archives. It's one of those things that I put off for literally years, the final years when I started being really prolific in season 16 and 17, and I just didn't want to do it. But I finally got them done in about an hour. So the entire archive, seasons 1 through 17, are complete, available to all Patreon supporters. Oh, yay button for the archives. Yes, I will hit the yay button. There we go. Archives are done. And Ditch Digger archives are done. You can find out more about me and my stuff and how to support and my new book, Station Eternity, at Murverse.com. And my socials are Twitter, Mighty Mur, and I'm Mighty Mur on Twitch, and Mighty Mur 2 on Instagram when I remember to post there. And I think that's all I have to say for now. I will see you on Thursday. Today is Tuesday. I will see you on Thursday, 3 p.m., or the next episode in your feed, because you should be writing. I Should Be Writing is available to you under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Theme music by John Anilio. Art by Numbers Ninja. Production by Summer Brooks. And hosting by Libsyn. Find all of this information and more at Murverse.com. And remember, we can't do this without you. Thanks for your support. Doctor Who.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller. Find your next obsession. Or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.